And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, November the 6th, 2021. It's Season 15, Episode 38. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm Wendy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back, RJ.
Hey, good to be back. What I miss.
What'd you miss? Well, I'll tell you what you missed here coming up in just a bit. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228, but, you know, calling is like, that's out now. Nobody calls anymore. You just show up in our Discord. It's the wave of the future. Computers. They'll take over everything.
Yeah, newfangled technology, right?
Taking over your phones. Yeah, we've got Discord, by the way, so you can just pop into Discord if you'd like to do that, and you can talk to us on the air if you want to do that. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook there as well. Give us a like, why don't you? You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We're streaming right now on Twitch. As we always do, go to twitch.tv, type in In-Game Chat. You'll be able to find us. Join in the chat room live while we broadcast. I see Drunk Degenerates is in there. AC Wraith hanging out as well. Probably some more. They just haven't said anything yet. And so, you know. But we're all in there waiting for you to chat it up with us as well. Again, Discord. All of this you can find at our website. Go to ingamechat.net. Scroll all the way to the bottom. All the links are there to put you in touch with us, whether it be emails or just live while we're on the air. That's how you can do it. Ooh, let me do this. Make sure I get it done. Here we go.
Clap, clap.
So, what am I forgetting to talk about? So I got that done, got that, yeah. Yeah, I guess we should just jump right into what we played. However, RJ, Bama Brian is in the chat room as well. Hey, buddy. RJ's been away for a bit, a week. And we should find out not only what he played, but also what he did and how his weekend was from last weekend. So welcome back to the show.
Thank you much. Thank you much.
What we'll start with where you went for the weekend, you know, where you were, because gaming was involved
where you were.
Did you pop into any tournaments? Did you do it? Because you weren't sure.
Yeah, there weren't many tournaments there. I went to Anime Weekend Atlanta 2021.
Perfect time to go during the World Series, because
yes,
you know Atlanta would not, the baseball fans would be over in Houston. Oh, that didn't happen at all, did it? They were all there that entire weekend.
Yeah,
Friday,
yeah.
Saturday, and Sunday were the three games of the Atlanta Braves World Series, all in Atlanta
while
you were there
during AWA. So that made for a cluster of humanity all in one concentrated spot of Atlanta.
I mean, it's
week.
No Dragon Con. But
no, it's not. But it's
still there.
It was a massive humanity out there, and fortunately, we saw the games where they won. So people were drunk and happy, as opposed to drunk and angry.
I was going to say, they're going to be drunk either way, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
Just how
drunk. Look, drunk is a
just
given.
What's their mood? Happy or sad?
Yeah, drunk is a given. Yeah, it's just whether or not depending on how the Braves performed, but they were going to be happy or sad. So we didn't make it for Sunday's game because we left in the afternoon. And
which is good because they lost that game.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they had to win it in Houston. So go figure. But so yeah, it was a whole bunch of not as much conflict as I thought it was going to be with AWA. I mean, because everyone was doing their own thing.
Well, yeah, but, because once you get inside the conventions, I guess wherever it was being held, once you get inside,
yeah, the Renaissance Waverly Hotel in Atlanta was where.
Yeah, once you got inside there, I mean, it kind of shut out the rest of the world for you. You didn't have to worry about what was going on out in the streets and over in the stadiums and stuff like that. Plus, from what I understand, the stadium, not right there, not where it used to be, like right there in Atlanta, right? They moved, didn't they?
It moved closer to the state, closer to the area. Actually, I mean, the area that I'm talking about, off of 285. You have the Renaissance Waverly, which is where the con was held.
Right? So that wasn't downtown Atlanta then, was it?
Not quite downtown, but in the area that I'm talking about, you have the Renaissance Waverly right there. Right across the street, you have the Sheraton Suites. Behind there, you have the Cumberland Mall. Mm-hmm. So you have an area of shopping and commerce there, right? Now, across the overpass, you have the Omni Hotel, which is where we stayed, which happens to be attached to Truist Park, where the Braves play. So everything in that area was pretty much within walking distance. You could theoretically walk from the hotel to the con and back. It was about a good 15-20 minute walk. Right?
Could you watch the game from your hotel room?
Yes.
Could you, I mean, like, look out the window and watch the game?
We were on the 11th floor, and I could literally look out the window and see from right field right into the field of play.
Nice.
So we saw the entire game.
And you got those rooms before there was ever a thought of a World Series.
Yeah, there was no possible way for the Omni or any hotels to plan that the World Series was going to be in town. Mm-hmm. There was no way anyone could plan for that.
They hated it, too, because they could have charged so much more money for those rooms.
Trust me. They got money. They got their money in terms of parking. Parking was like double through the entire
weekend. Especially if you didn't have a room there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You didn't have a room. You were SOL.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But anyway, the con was fine. The World Series was fine. Saw a couple games as opposed to paying for being in the stadium. Mm-hmm. Because I remember going to Atlanta in July for a regular season game. That was in the Delta SkyMouse seats. That was about $300 a seat, which is about 30, 40 feet behind home plate. Not bad, right?
Yeah.
You can see pretty much everything there. But the seats that we were in for the World Series was about 10 to 11 grand default, right? The nosebleed seats were $1,200.
Yeah, no, it was much.
Yeah. So, but the place was jam-packed. They weren't a seat available at Truist Park that night, mm-hmm. or the other night, or Sunday. Every time they were there.
Yeah.
So, and after the game, in the Battery, which is the area where the media well was, full of fans.
I'm sure.
There were hours and hours and hours afterwards, like 3-4 in the morning, which led to some very interesting elevator rides come around midnight coming in the Omni. I've had drunken couples. I've had the elevator full of policemen who you knew how hard they were working. Kudos to them, man, because they were working the crowd of the World Series. I mean, fatigue, clear on their face. I mean, dude was just, I remember one dude had almost like a 1,000-yard stare eating his Chick-fil-A sandwich, just staring into nothingness. He was just that fatigued, but he had a long way to go. It was midnight at the time I saw him.
Yeah.
Right? And I knew he was going to have about at least three, four hours left in that shift before he could relax and go home. The drunken sorority that was on the elevator as well. Preceded by a guy who stuck his head and said, "Hey, you don't mind riding an elevator with a bunch of pretty girls, do you?" I said, "No, go on in." So about 10 or 11 women came in all dressed in black evening wear, every one of them drunk and apologetic for some reason. Like, sorry for taking this elevator.
Well, more than likely, they're just like, I don't know, I'm not cognizant of my facilities, so I will apologize in advance.
No, that was the first drunken couple I saw.
Okay, well, then there's
the first drunken couple did that. Guy said, "I apologize in advance for anything she says," and she said, "Plenty."
Ooh,
on the way up there.
Okay.
Yeah, so good time, memorable time. It was had by all. But like I said, the main focus was AWA. So anime themes, saw some good shows, saw a lot of things in the dealer's room, got a lot of prints from the artist room. The video games there, the video game staff was running three tournaments. They ran Guilty Gear Strive, Tekken 7, which didn't get too much attendance, but the main tournament they ran was Smash Brothers. Still to this day, Smash Brothers is still getting a ton of people in there, and they had to cap it at 64. They got to 62 this time around, because one of the last times the AWA had a Smash Brothers tournament, the cap went way overboard. It got into the high triple digits, and that tournament lasted till maybe 4 in the morning.
Wow.
Started at 7 p.m.
Wow.
And it was like couldn't plan for it. I mean, it was just like all of a sudden, oh, won't be too many people here. They thought wrong. So many people came in there that it lasted the entire day. So they were able to prep for it better this time. But overall, it was a very good time, very good experience, and I will be going back again, World Series or not.
I know. You always hit that one. That and Final Round when they have it.
Yeah, when they have it, yeah. If I get the opportunity, I go to Final Round as well.
Because that's also a fighting game tournament that's held over in Atlanta as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Yeah, usually around March, mid-late March. Mm-hmm.
Now, did you play anything outside of the convention tournaments, that sort of thing? Did you play anything?
Yeah, a buddy of mine brought his PS5, so I was able to play.
Hey, did you play Ghost?
No, I didn't play Ghost on it, okay. But I did play Demon's Souls.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I hate to be technical on this. I hate to go into I was going to say I hate to be even more nerdy, I guess. But what kind of TV were you playing it on? If it's the hotel TV, probably
it was a hotel flat screen.
Big flat screen. Not 4K though, I'm sure.
Probably not. Most likely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big flat screen. That's enough.
I mean,
for me.
you're still playing. That's still fine.
Yeah.
I was hoping you, because I was like, ooh, maybe play Ghost, and I would love for you to see that on like a nice 4K.
Mm-hmm. 120 frames a second or something.
I mean, just a real... It's just... It's beautiful. Even... Now, I haven't played the director's cut or whatever they released specifically for the PS5.
Mm-hmm.
I've only played the PS4 version on a PS5, which did not come with that graphical upgrade.
Right.
So, I've only played it there, and the thing is just amazing looking.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can only imagine what it would look like, you know, with the upgrades and everything else,
mm-hmm.
to see what that looks like. But
on some good equipment, yeah.
Demon Souls as well. Mm-hmm. Demon Souls, right?
Demon Souls.
Yeah, Demon Souls.
Yeah.
Probably also would look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
From what Bluepoint has done with what they did with Shadow of the Colossus, going from that to what they did for the PS4,
right.
of all
right.
things, going with Demon Souls to what they did with PS5.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, Sony now owns Bluepoint Games. I think we covered that.
We had talked about Bluepoint before. Yeah, I remember.
Right,
that.
there was a tweet that leaked where Sony was welcoming them into, you know, the fold.
Yeah.
Except they issued another tweet that had a completely different company that they were welcoming into the fold. Maybe it was Supermassive Games, I guess, or something. I don't remember. Not Supermassive, but whoever did Returnal.
Okay.
And that name is I'm drawing a blank on the developer of that name. Resogun is their first game.
Mm-hmm. Housemark. Okay.
So I think.
Thank you, Internet.
Yeah, I think they got pulled in to Sony, but it leaked around that time, and then not too long later, they issued the. Not. Too long ago, I should say, they issued the tweet where, yeah, they mm-hmm. were gonna, they were, they had bought Bluepoint,
mm-hmm.
so now they work for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of Demon Souls, not to jump into our discussion, did you watch any of that Elden Ring gameplay?
All I saw was that little video they had of it, but not actual gameplay of it.
Mm. Mm. They released 20 minutes of gameplay?
Okay. So yeah. It's probably on YouTube by now, right?
Oh, yeah, well, easily. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I can just
yeah.
look it up.
I think it was on later. Tuesday or Wednesday they issued they posted the 20-minute gameplay video.
Mm-hmm.
It's Demon Souls-ish. I mean, watching it, I was like, oh, that's Demon Souls. Like, the way the character is designed.
Yeah.
The way the character moves.
Mm-hmm.
The combat. I'm like, okay, it's Demon Souls, just here's a new dressing, you know?
Yeah.
Or Bloodborne, even though I think Bloodborne can stand on its own, away from that whole Demon Souls type of thing. But as soon as you put a dude in armor,
mm-hmm.
I'm Demon Souls again, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which Bloodborne didn't have that.
No, you just basically had your duster and your fancy hat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You have your stovepipe hat or your pirate's hat or
right.
whatever. The, not forget
but the
name of
but the yeah. setting, the setting for Blood, everything about Bloodborne, with the exception of maybe the combat.
Mm-hmm.
See, and obviously some of the mechanics with like
definitely know, with pairing.
Yeah.
With the before I played the game, when I was told that I had a gun, I thought it was going to be purely offensive, but that's not the case. It is really. A defensive tool.
Yeah,
your gun is purely defensive. I mean, unless you have some something special. I think the cannon, maybe, but it takes so much quicksilver to use that thing. It's not even really practical to use it like that.
Yeah, that's drug degenerates. It looks a lot like big Dark Souls 3. Is I guess the vibe that it gives mm-hmm. off. I mean, it gives off a Dark Souls vibe, a Demon Souls vibe.
Yeah,
probably because of the setting.
Mm-hmm.
That it is medieval, I suppose.
Yeah.
You could call it that, you know, that
yeah,
sort of
yeah,
thing.
That's the aesthetic I get from Dark Souls and Demon Souls. You get the medieval setting, and mm-hmm. then with Bloodborne, you get the Victorian Old English setting.
Right.
So that's pretty much what makes it stand out from Dark Souls more than anything else is just the setting alone. And
but
the
you've had, like, how many? So there was Demon Souls, and then there was Dark Souls,
Demon
right?
Souls, Dark Souls, yeah.
And Dark Souls had three?
Two Dark Souls 2 and Dark Souls 3. Yeah.
Yeah, and Demon Souls had two?
Demon Souls, all I know is just one Demon
Souls. Oh, they've only had the one. Okay.
I've had one Demon Souls.
So one Demon Souls, three
Dark Souls.
Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm. And a Bloodborne.
And
with the,
I know
with a significant DLC.
But
afterwards.
The Dark Souls and Demon Souls, those are related, right? Those situations
from software
in this, but
same,
they don't exist situation. In the same universe. They're not the same character.
I haven't seen anything overlapping with that. I mean, the same character, just a different look. I mean, you have the Maiden in Black in Demon Souls, and you have the I forget her name, but she's pretty much the same. She does the same thing. The Nexus, and you got the Bonfire from in Dark Souls.
So Demon Souls and Dark Souls have no relation.
It's other than gameplay and what it looks like. I mean, it's pretty much the same game, just a little bit of upgrade.
Today I learned that Demon Souls and Dark Souls are completely separate. Mm-hmm. I always thought that there was just like, Demon Souls was like an exclusive we did for whatever company. Then we did Dark Souls that everybody could play. And it's basically Demon Souls. We just retitled
it. It's pretty much the same game to me. Just the same type of characters, just different names and different clothing or aspects of it. It's about the difficulty and challenge of getting from one point to one from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. Really, that's what it's really all about.
Well, if you you don't even have to watch it with audio. If you just Google that Elden Ring footage on YouTube during a break or something, you can just it'll take you 10 seconds. I mean, it'll take you 10 seconds into watching the video to be like, oh, yeah, that's From Software, that's Demon Souls, or Dark Souls, whatever you want to call it. So, they did release footage of that. I think they talked a little bit about how some of it will play, but yeah, we're still a ways away from that. Mm-hmm. So you got to play a PS5.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play anything? I mean, is that all you played on it, or did you play anything else? Did he bring anything else?
It was just what he had on his hard drive, but it was basically Demon Souls throughout the entire thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you like it on the PS5? I mean,
it was nice. I mean, it was smoother. Had to react quicker. The parrying system was a little more forgiving than I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I was fine with that. The difficulty was still there. There was a lot of spots that I had to do lather, rinse, repeat, because I kept dying on that area as well.
Yeah.
Some things I forgot. It was like I'm running on a bridge. I'm like, I could have swore that something happened here. And then the dragon came and took everyone out. Says, oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah. Okay. And then he came back again on the second section of the bridge, and then again on the third section of the bridge, mauled by dogs that I didn't remember, came jumping out of the dark. That was one thing. And since the shadows are a lot more detailed than thing, you didn't see it till he was jumping, till the mouth was open at your face. Oh, there's a dog there, dead.
Mm-hmm.
Go back.
That was something I noticed playing last night. We were playing Animal Crossing, and it was at nighttime in the game world, and the lady like changed my hair, and we're outside, and like did a completely different thing with my hair. I couldn't tell what she had done. It was too dark. I couldn't tell, but I was just like, that. I don't like that. So I had it revert or whatever. And then this morning when I'm playing, I could easily, because it's during the daylight or whatever, I could easily see what it was. But at night, dark.
Mm-hmm.
Dark. It's the same way with Metroid Dread I was playing on the television. Regardless of night or day, it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm. You're underground in that game, right?
Yeah, it was dark.
Yeah.
It was like, I was looking at a wall that I said, can I go any further with that? And I'd have to walk right up into it to make sure that, okay, I can't go further than this. Cause it was so dark. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell that was a wall there. I was like, does that connect? No, it doesn't. Okay. Mm.
You didn't have any brightness settings on there that you could adjust?
You
that?
Do, but I adjusted them the way they had instructed me to adjust them, which was, make sure this logo is whatever, that
yeah,
sort of
but
thing.
But that's such a, broad, nebulous description until it's barely visible. What do you mean by, I know.
Yeah. But for a Metroid game, I was just like, I don't need to worry too much about this, in first-person shooters or first-person mode 3D type of games, not in a side-scroller type of thing as to what Metroid is. I just didn't think, it's no big deal. I'll set it to what it is. Most of the time, you're right, though, no, I don't. I will go to their level, and I'll look at it and be like, no, that's too dark. Let's brighten this up a little bit. And I would brighten it up.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a horror game, I'd go all the way bright so that I could see everything that's looking at me waiting to attack. It's very, very dark in some settings on those games. So,
Speaking of which, you have on your PS5. Did you ever get to see the show on PS5?
Not on PS5. 4K? No,
because I remember how good it looked to you seeing 3D when you bought the show. I think on Game Pass it looked
well.
Pretty
I should.
Right?
Well, no, I didn't buy the show on Game Pass. I actually may have been GameFly that I got that in.
Okay,
because I know I didn't buy it.
Okay,
but it may have been GameFly that sent me that version of the show way back when, when I was playing in 3D and watching that. The 3D only worked when the ball was in play.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he was pitching the ball, then that's what stood out. If you hit the ball, then that's what stood out.
Mm-hmm.
If you were throwing the ball, from the outfield or infield or whatever, that's what stood out. Anything else that happened in that game, the 3D was not working.
Okay.
I mean, it was, but it was never more prominent than when the ball was in the air.
The ball's
in
play. Yeah. Okay.
That was when it was prominent. You take a 3D, or I say a 3D object, you take an object that is separated from the background, the foreground, and everything else, and then it has that depth.
Right.
It has that 3D feel coming at you. You bring that up, and I've been going back to a lot of the Uncharted games, just some of the videos and stuff, looking at those.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember watching Uncharted 3. I say watching, playing Uncharted 3. The chateau is completely on fire. And I was playing it in 3D. I'd played it in 3D up until the chateau fire. Once the chateau section was done and I moved on to the next chapter, I stopped playing in 3D because of the distraction. It was good 3D, but I was paying too much attention to it and not, like, let's look at these other aspects of this game, Let's check out, whatever else is going on. Let's pay attention to the sound, the story, the combat, whatever. I was far too distracted by the 3D. 3D worked really well in that game.
Have you ever had another situation where you, like, the background or the artwork or the 3D is, like, done so well you miss those important things, like an important item to pick up or an area you're supposed to go?
In gaming, no. I didn't put a lot of time into 3D gaming. In any other kind of viewing, like movies, TVs, things like that, sure, easily.
Yeah.
You can easily be trying to pay attention to the 3D that is happening there and completely miss whatever they're trying to point out to you, unless, of course, it is the 3D itself. A lot of things were doing that whole gimmick of, well, it's 3D, let's throw stuff at the camera,
Yeah.
The best 3D is, there are two aspects of 3D, before the window and beyond the window. Beyond the window is that whole gimmick of stuff coming out of the screen at you or whatever. Before the window is what I consider to be the best test of 3D. If they can get before the window right, it's so good when that works. And before the window is where you have depth. The frame, nothing's coming out at you, but you can see in the frame that somebody's in the foreground, somebody's in the background, and there you can tell the depth. It's not flat.
Yeah.
But you can tell depth when the 3D is there. Yeah, I know. The gimmick is throw stuff at the screen. Yes. That's all, and that's fun, and it needs that because you need that gimmick. But when you're not doing that all the time, you need to have that other aspect of the before the window sort of 3D effect.
Yeah.
And that's really when it works. And I'm trying to think of some of the best examples of that. I have said many times the movie's not very good, but the 3D in the movie is the best I had ever seen because of how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is 2016's Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I wish I could see that in 3D again. Because it was so good how they did that. And I've explained it on the show, but for those who may not know the explanation, for those listening thinking, is he talking about Ghostbusters being good? No, the movie is not good.
The visuals are.
The visuals are great.
Yeah, the visuals.
The visuals
are
great. The 3D is just the best. What they did, and I credit it to this, but I'm sure there's more to it than this. It's letterboxed, right? I mean,
right.
When you're in the theater, the black bars are there. But anytime a 3D effect took place, whatever that 3D effect was, stretched beyond those black bars. So, in other words, here's what I'm trying to say. with your 3D glasses on, it gave that effect that things were beyond the window.
Right.
While also doing the before the window stuff really, really well, anytime it came out of the screen, it didn't even have to come out of the screen. It could be beyond the letterboxing.
I'm trying to remember seeing that it would give an example.
Any of them that involve ghosts.
Okay, so that scene with the beast on Leslie Jones' shoulder, she was walking out the club. Was that going beyond the bar at the top?
That was going beyond the bar at the top. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the thing.
Okay.
If you took your 3D glasses off, the image of whatever was that 3D was also beyond those black
it
bars.
Past the borders at the top. Okay.
Basically, what they did, they shot the entire film with those black bars put in afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the whole thing was full screen is what you would normally call it. The whole thing was in, and I can't remember the aspect ratio of what it would be.
16:9?
Yeah, 16:9 or 4. It's not 4. It wasn't 4:3 though.
Okay.
But it was probably full screen 16:9 basically.
Okay.
And then they put the black bars on there and kept it that way. Shot it for that sort of look. But anytime there were effects that needed to come beyond that, they would stretch above that black bar on the screen, not in your 3D. I mean, it came in that way as well through the 3D, but on the screen as well. And I think that helped the effect. And what made it so good was that it did give the presence that it is reaching beyond the screen because it was dipping below those black bars.
Right.
But it was doing that already. They had already made that happen on the screen. But the way it affected the 3D was just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of 3D talk. I apologize. I'm big into my 3D. The games that worked well in 3D, by the way, just to give you an idea, was MLB The Show.
Yeah.
Was good. Uncharted 3 had good 3D as well. The other one was Killzone 2 or 3. I can't remember which one. The one that had the train sequence. For anybody who can remember, it was the Killzone that had the train sequence. That in 3D, that whole sequence there was amazing. I remember when I wrote the review about Killzone 2 or 3, and I can't remember. It was up on Colony of Gamers, our old site. I wrote a review about it and mentioned that the 3D was very, very well done. It was kind of the first foray into 3D.
It may have been 2.
Probably 2.
Because I put in a Killzone train. It says Killzone 2 train mission.
Yep. That's most likely the one. Yeah. So that was really good 3D effect.
Mm.
And then there was you know, they had their little demo, kind of like they did with their PSVR.
Right.
A little demo disc of like, here, show off the 3D. Yeah. The problem with gaming is that, and a lot like I think with VR as well, you play a game a lot longer than you watch a movie.
Yes.
And so you're in that effect, wearing those glasses, seeing that view a far longer than you are when watching a film. Your eyes will get tired. Your eyes get tired already.
Yeah, because I've seen that when I went and saw Ghost in the Shell in 3D, there were times in that film when I had to take the glasses off and get my eyes adjusted, man. And then things didn't fit, so that was another thing they had to go through. But it really got to the point where around the last 30-35 minutes of it, I just said, okay, forget this, just take the things off.
By the way,
just watch the rest of the
world. I was talking about Ghostbusters. I think if you watch the film itself, I think you'll get the same effect. It won't be in 3D, but I think they will stretch beyond the frame of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you can see that, and you don't need the glasses to do it, I think.
Beyond the borders of the letterbox, you mean, right?
Right, yeah. I have actually not watched the film since I saw it in the theater.
No.
And I think I went and saw that game. I think I saw that movie twice.
Yeah.
Because of the 3D.
Mm.
Yeah, it was real good. It was real good 3D. Does 3D work for you, Wendy?
You know, my inner ear, it doesn't take much to make me nauseous. So
Well, no, you wear glasses, so I wasn't sure, like, if 3D works, you know, if you can.
I mean, it works if I have something that goes, I can actually wear my glasses. But the way my inner ear, I get dizzy.
And have you ever tried VR or no?
No.
Okay. Hasn't tried VR. And I sold my VR set. So,
yeah, before I could try it.
That's okay. I don't think, I don't even know if I can hook my PSVR, well, not anymore. I don't know if you can hook PSVR up to a PS5. I'm not sure that it would work.
Oh, that is a thing.
What?
Prescription 3D glasses.
Really?
Slip-on glasses for prescription eyewear, 3D. Huh, that is a thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible, if you ever wanted to experience that. I guess do a little research on it. Should be fine. Okay.
Well, thanks for the info.
Mm-hmm.
3D should make a comeback for a year or two in about 15 years of Vanishing Again. 3D will make a comeback likely when Avatar releases again. I don't know that it'll stay like it did before. Like when Avatar released in December of whatever year that was, or November of whatever year that was.
Yeah.
3D exploded, and it stayed for a good few years there, a good many years, actually. And then, of course, it died off again.
Yeah.
But...
fad thing, huh?
Yeah, it was. It was. We're getting links here in the thing. Yep. Okay, that's a really good example, and I'm glad you found that, Ben O'Brien. It shows... did any of you click on that link there?
Yeah,
in the chat room.
Yeah.
If you click on the link, it's an image. It shows an image of the Ghostbusters thing.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, the proton pack effect. Yeah.
So it's a really great example of how they did. Now, I know you can see the beams stretching beyond the letterbox
right.
That's above them.
And the sparks below.
But take a look at below, those sparks and those light shaft reflection type things that are coming beyond that. That did such a good job in translating the 3D. It was really, really well done. I'd never seen a movie do that before. Haven't seen one try it since, although I think 3D was kind of dying out at that time anyway. So, hey, we need to take a break. Ramble. ramble. We'll find out what Wendy and I have played when we come back, and we'll also take Chris?
Chris.
Yeah, we'll take Chris's call as well. As soon as we come back here, going to take a break. Well, I forgot to send over my music.
Really?
Uh-huh.
How'd that happen?
Should have done something, and I didn't.
It's part of our charm, folks.
Right.
We always find a mistake somewhere within the first hour of the show. Sometimes at the very end, we find the mistake.
And I have a way to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do that here while I'm on the phone with you. Or while I'm on the air with you.
Oh, you're on the air with us, yeah.
Because
you're the king of multitasking.
I know, right?
Yep.
While we're waiting, let's just go ahead and take Chris's call while I do
this. What's going
on? Hey, Chris.
Well, I got a little bit more news. Disappointed when I opened up my new monitor and everything. I had a line of dead pixels about 40% from the right side of the screen all the way across, a vertical line that was dead.
Oh.
Yeah, so contacted Amazon early this morning as well as Asus and see what route I could go, and they said if Amazon couldn't get it or work with it, or if they were out of the product, I could just call back and give them a code and pick up from there. So called Amazon, they were very helpful, and in the process I found out when I had purchased it, it's now $300 cheaper. So
Did you get a refund? Did you get some money back?
Yeah, in the end, of course the guy that helped me was very generous, outstanding customer support. Now, of course, I know he is from overseas, but I could perfectly understand him, unlike some other people you may have to deal with from time to time. But, and I explained to him, hey, it had dead pixels on it and all, but when I looked up on the website now, I see that the same product exactly is, $7.99 instead of, $10.95 what I paid for it. And he said, just let me put you on hold. I'll write up a ticket and everything, and see if they'll give you a difference of the purchase price. And if not, I'll go ahead and set up a return where you can return it if they refuse to do that, which I got a notice and say they don't do that. So I got it all boxed up, ready to go out tomorrow and take it to UPS store tomorrow. So I'm going to finish the return on that and then bought me a new one that should be arriving in 2 or 3 days. So, it's tough to wait on it, but I can put up with it for a couple of days.
No, yeah, of course, especially since you got it cheaper, and yeah, exactly.
And then once the refund comes in, it'll be good, but, I went ahead and ordered that sucker and said, yeah, I'll just at least have the new one here, and whenever it gets here, I can be ready to go. And, you know, money's not an issue at this point for right now for getting the money back. As long as it comes down the road after a little bit, it will be fine. But, yep, been playing another old game on the Switch I'd had. I think it's actually, let me go back to the menu. I can tell you what it is. It's,
you don't know what you're playing it, and you don't know what it is?
Yeah, it's Gokken, G-O-K-E-N. I bought it years ago, and I figured, yeah, it's time to go back and play it some more. So I've been playing that, and I'm thinking about getting that new the Devil Summoner, the 10 Shigumi, whatever it was, 5, you know, the latest one of that old series that was...
No clue.
Yeah. not... RJ might know.
RJ will know.
Shin Megami Tensei?
Yeah, that one. Yeah, the number 5 of
that
one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We had music from that that we used during Halloween.
Yeah, just like the Ghost issue. Yeah, what we can relay on RJ for good pronunciation of these titles, right?
He knows the Japanese, titles.
Some of those titles and stuff I know, but... That one's a little bit difficult for me, too.
So what, anything else you played?
Not really, but of course, when the monitor and all comes in, I'll probably want to jump into the Ghost, because I've got it, for, you know, the PlayStation version of it, to take effect of the monitor and check it out. And I've got only one 4K movie, you know, that has the, you know, the 3D Blu-ray and everything in the regular DVR combo all together, and that was the live-action remake of Battle Angel from the anime that came out in theaters years ago, but I never have opened it, so...
I know, that's another one I haven't watched. I do have the Steelbook edition came with the 3D.
Steelbook, same here.
Yeah, but I don't have a 3D TV to view it with.
Yeah.
But, it was probably good, knowing Robert Rodriguez.
But yeah, I remember seeing the 3D version of it in the theaters, and then it had excellent 3D effects on it. You could really see the stuff popping out at you and everything, and, you know, they utilize that really good, and I can either watch it on the projector, because I know my projector can do a 3D mode. I've done it before, and I've got portable glasses that will tune into the projector or something. So I can either do that or watch it in 4K and see if the new monitor will do 3D as well. So time will tell, and I'll eventually get around to watching that. And I haven't seen it in a while, so it'd be a good time to look at it and then put the monitor to good use.
All right. Well, I've got my music set up here, so I didn't send over the songs for some reason, but I've got those set up now. But, Chris, I appreciate you waiting, and thanks so much for calling in, buddy.
All right, y'all. Have a good afternoon.
Take care, man.
Take care, now.
All right. See Bye-bye. Y'all. Bye.
New monitor for Chris. Well, that's good. I'm glad he was able to do that, because you do run a lottery when you buy these monitors about having some dead pixels. Usually it's
You said 40% of that thing was dead.
I was about to say.
It's not like someone dropped that thing.
Yeah, if it was one pixel, he probably wouldn't have gotten the return that he got, but with what he had had,
It sounded like a drop.
So it's good that they were able to do that for him.
Yeah.
It's not Halloween, but we've got music here from a game called Back for Blood, which released in October while we were doing all of our Halloween stuff. So we're going to check that out. It's the main menu theme of that, and we'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Jet, the Far Shore. This is called Jet to the Cosmodrome. Don't really know a lot about it.
You're right about the Elden Ring gameplay, by the way.
Yeah, did you take a look at it?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it during the break. It is exactly dark. It is the Souls.
Right.
So it is the Souls genre.
Which there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I've said again, mm-hmm. I will play Burnout games all day. You can release a new Burnout game as long as it's just same stuff, different tracks. I'm good.
Yeah.
You don't have to change gameplay. You don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me more of it.
Yep.
I'm perfectly fine with that. Even if you called it something else.
Yeah.
I would be fine with that. Which Forza Horizon is not that. I know Horizon's an arcade racer, but not what I'm used to as far as arcade racers.
Yeah.
You know, like Ridge Racer and Outrun and Burnout and Blur and all these others that we have.
So, the time limit is get from point A to point B as quick as possible, yeah.
Right. All right, well, Matt's on the phone. Hey, Matt.
Hey-o.
What got you calling in?
Oh, I was just getting off of work and, heard a little bit of you guys talking about VR and RJ mentioning about how prescription lenses for VR. And I was like, oh, I have those on my Oculus.
The Oculus, what do you have it in?
I have the Rift S.
The Rift S, okay. Yeah. I've been kind of eyeballing the Oculus Quest,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure
Me
I'm there
too,
yet.
Just for the simple fact that, some of the games like, Resident Evil 4 and the, Star Wars are only on that. They're not supporting, the Rift S anymore.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Why would those not be on? I would think that you would be able to play. I mean, if it's an Oculus product, I would think you'd be able to play it.
Yeah.
Regardless of which version you have, but I guess not.
I think they're selling them through the Oculus Store.
And you don't have access to the Oculus Store, even though you have a Rift S or whatever it is.
I do, but like not the Quest games.
Huh. So
there are games specifically for the Quest that I don't have access to.
Wow. But I'm curious, though. Well, no, you can't. Not with the Rift S. I was thinking of the Quest. I'm tired of these names. I was thinking of the Quest because the Quest is, you know, all in one type of thing. It's you know,
yeah.
It is the.
You don't need a separate PC.
You don't need anything. It's ready to go right out of the box. You charge it and you can play it, and there's no wires that need connecting to in order to do that. But if you do want to play games on your PC. In VR, at least VR games from your PC, it's one cable. It's one USB cable that connects to it, and then you can do it.
And I've heard there's a little bit of latency issues with that from some people that have that.
Right. See, I'm not. So. I really haven't done the research that I should on this, and even what research I've done, what I'm trying to find out is there, because this thing was released a year ago, so they have a refresh on the way. Is there an advancement coming up where I would rather wait, hold off, get the new model instead of buying something that's going to be, you know, that's going to be older, I guess, or last gen in VR terms, I suppose.
Because once they stop supporting it, I mean, then. Yeah, when they move on to the new thing, they put all their weight behind that.
Man. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still playing it out. Just to see. I've been down the VR road before, and I like it, but to get back into it, I want to make sure that I'm getting back at a good spot, basically.
Yeah.
Because I've already
spending several thousand dollars.
Right, I've already done the early adopter situation, and I don't want to do that again. So
understandable.
Yep. So I'm going to hold off on that. And you said they make an adapter for the PS4 or something like that, or the PS5 for the VR.
I've just heard that the PSVR works. I mean, I haven't looked into it that much, but I've heard that. Because they have people talking about PSVR games for the 5, and there's I don't think there's a new VR system, so
not yet.
Kind of heard that. Yeah,
they're supposed to. We're supposed to be getting one at some point.
Mm-hmm.
There's one that is being worked on, I guess, but no, there's we don't. There's no PSVR for the PS5 yet, but I believe we'll get there.
So, I mean, I might be wrong.
About
the PSVR working with the PS5?
Oh, working with the PS5. Well, no, because somebody in the chat room mentioned that as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Drunk Degenerate says he thinks there's a cable or an adapter you can get to hook up the PSVR to the PS5. So.
Okay.
So, yeah, we think that would work. However, it doesn't matter for me because I don't have a PSVR anymore.
Oh.
You got
rid of yours?
There was too much of a deal going on at GameStop there for a while for older consoles and for PSVR. Like, the amount of money they were handing out in store credit was just massive.
Oh.
Yeah. That's why I'm looking into that Oculus thing, because I've got got a lot of store credit over at the GameStop.
Okay.
A lot of store credit over at the GameStop. So, yeah. And that deal may be going on. In fact, what happened was, when I did this a couple of weeks back, it was I think it was the week before the OLED Switch released. When I was doing it, if you were a pro member and you were taking store credit, you got a whole bunch of money back.
Mm.
But if you wanted it in cash, it wasn't very much. Now,
all right.
or just a week or so ago, I think it was, I was reading where, nope, if you are a pro member, you know, their little pro member thing.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't matter if you want store credit or cash, you're going to get the same amount. And it was on the high end.
Wow.
So the $275 I was getting back for like an Xbox One.
Yeah.
In store credit, if I just waited about a week or so, I'd have been able to get $275 in cash for that.
Mm.
I've got like 4 figures worth of money at GameStop right now, waiting to either be spent on gift cards so I can transfer them to cash or to sell it or whatever I want to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a good deal. It was a great deal. And I think that deal may still be going on if you've got any older consoles from the... See, they don't have inventory. They don't have stock. And so they're incentivizing everybody to trade in their stuff, because they don't have the next gen consoles to sell this holiday season. Mm-hmm. They don't have a good supply of, I would say, current gen. I'm not sure when that. Normally, that transition is over and done with at this point, but because not a lot of people have them, I have no idea if we count them current gen or next gen. I don't know. But
I would just say the systems.
We're
coming up on what, almost a year of no, like, hard to find PS5s.
I believe we've already hit, or we're about to hit a year. It's either this week or next week when the PS5 released last year. I think it's this week when the PS5 released. What day?
November 12th.
Yeah, it'll be this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be Friday, I think. Friday will be a year since the PS5 released. And what, the Series X released, I think, a week before? So yeah, we're already.
I think so.
Of course, we're already past the year point of when the 30 series of NVIDIA cards released.
November 10th.
Oh, November 10th. True. Just a few days. Yeah. So we're already in a year on graphics cards. We're about to hit a year of consoles, and they're still hard to get and hard to find.
Yeah.
So, are you looking at getting a console, or are you still doing the PC thing?
I mean, I'm still doing the PC thing, but I mean, if I could find a PS5 at a good price, then, you know, I don't know, it's on my radar.
Hmm. I mean, you could probably, as far as a good price, I would think it would only be on like Base Exchange or something that you might find a good price.
Yeah.
I mean, unless somebody, see, that's the thing though. If anybody's selling one, even if it's used, they already know what the demand is on these things. They're not going to drop. You're not going to get it for under retail right now. Even if it's used, you won't get it under retail.
Yeah.
Just because of how in demand the systems are right now. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, when are you going to come back? Sit in the studio with us.
Just trying to find time. It's been crazy busy.
Well, we're in a completely new room now.
Really?
Oh yeah, we're downstairs.
Oh
yeah, we've been downstairs since August now.
Okay.
Oh yeah, so just you know, let me know when you can come back. We'll get you a seat in here. We got one seat open here.
Sure.
So come on back whenever you can. Hey, take care, buddy. It's good to hear from you.
Have a great night, guys.
All right.
See you later.
Bye.
All right, we got to take a break again because we are right at the top of the hour. And then when we come back, we will talk about what we played. Because mostly Animal Crossing. Did you play? Oh, you did play something different.
Yeah, I did.
Yes, you did.
I did.
Yes, you did. We'll talk about what she's played and what I played. We'll go over, just mention this book that got sent to us this week. Tell you about that. And then we'll hit the news and everything else. It's all coming up here on In Game Chat. Music now from a game called Aeon Drive or Aeon Drive, A-E-O-N. Aeon Drive, kind of like
Aeon. Like Aeon Flux.
Aeon Flux, yeah. Aeon Drive Unstoppable is the name of this track. Unstoppable is the name of the track. Aeon Drive is the name of the game. We'll be back with more of In Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In Game Chat. Music here from recently released Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. Basically, it's Smash Brothers, but with Nickelodeon characters.
Yeah. Someone was talking about that at AWA, actually. How broken Michelangelo is in that game. Someone found an infinite with him. And it's very, very, it's ridiculously easy to do. So much so that I think that character got banned from tournaments or whatever. They look, it don't take long, so give someone enough time. They will find all types of ways to tweak and break the game. So, yeah, someone found an infinite combo with Michelangelo there.
By the way, that game is already on sale. I don't know when it released, but it is currently seeing a – where is it at here? Find out when that game came out.
Yeah.
Because this is interesting. Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl.
Yeah. Initial release date 2001. I'm trying to find the...
what?
It says initial date 2001. All-Star Brawl, right?
Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, yeah. Really?
October 5th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, thank you. Because I'm like, wait a second. No. October 5th, and I'm not sure what the retail price was to begin with. I don't know if it was a $40 game or $50. I think it was $60. I think it was full price.
Full price, maybe.
Yeah, because right now you can pick it up at Target for $20.
Mm-hmm.
It is currently on sale with their Black Friday thing, yeah. And it is $20. By the way, that's across the board. If you want it on the PS5, the PS4, the Switch, the Xbox, $20. For All-Star Brawl.
Well, that could be a number of reasons. I mean, it's not rated very well. Maybe someone recognized it for what it is, a Smash Brothers clone. Same format, just different characters or whatever. Yeah. Maybe some people are burned out on the game itself. And this isn't the first time we've seen games where they've been released, and then very soon after, the price just drops dramatically.
Look up SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Nickelodeon. Find out. I think that came out earlier this year or maybe even last year.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
But
January 21st of 2020.
2020, okay.
Rehydrated?
No, this is Battle for Bikini Bottom.
Okay, yeah, it says SpongeBob SquarePants, Battle for Bikini Bottom, Rehydrated. Must have been a remake of something.
Oh,
must
okay.
have been a remake of it, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's $20 at Target as well. Mm-hmm. So think about it. A game that came out in October is now the same price as a game that came out January of last year.
Okay, wait a minute.
Oh, wait, never mind.
Platform video game. It's this. Oh.
Oh?
2003? October 31st, 2003?
That doesn't sound right.
Because I did say one was called Rehydrated.
That must be what this is. That must be the Rehydrated version.
Okay.
Because it's got to be the remake, because it's Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and that would not have been 2003.
Yeah, platforms. Oh, yeah, platform, PS2, Xbox, GameCube, Microsoft Windows, Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
Yeah, Battle for Bikini Bottom. Yeah, the original. It must have been 2003. The remake is called Rehydrated,
yeah.
And that was the one that was came out, let's see...
Another one that's on the sale here is Immortals Fenyx Rising. That came out last year. It's a Ubisoft game.
Mm-hmm.
And that came out last year, full price. It was already dropped down for some Black Friday prices because I remember buying it and didn't even play it. And I returned it back to GameStop here recently when they were doing those bonus trade-in things. But right now, you can pick that up for the PS5 or the Xbox One or the PS4 for $15.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that... the Switch version is $20, which is strange. I think because it released more recent than the others. But yeah, $15 for a game that came out last year. This is what I'm kind of hoping for. Valhalla, by the way, Assassin's Creed Valhalla on all platforms, $20 at Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, sure. Right now, you can do that right now. With any of these we just mentioned, Immortals Fenyx Rising, Best Buy, $15. You can do that right now. MLB The Show...
Mm-hmm.
For it doesn't say which
21?
One. It's this year. I'm just it doesn't say what platform.
Okay,
but it is it's $20 at Target right now.
Yeah, typically. Well, since the World Series is over, you got that break in between. Come around March. It's usually March when the new one comes out.
Watch Dogs Legion from last year.
Yeah.
$15 at Best Buy, regardless of which platform you want to play it on.
Legion?
Legion.
Is that the third game in the series or one and two?
That is, let's see, Watch Dogs, and there's Watch Dogs 2. This is Watch Dogs 3, yeah, basically.
Okay. Watch Dogs 3, okay.
Yeah, that's basically what that is. And Alien Fireteam Elite, $25 at Target. Doesn't matter the platform you want to play it on, but it's right there for you. Mm. So there's a lot... that is currently on sale right now, and there's a lot of stores that haven't released their Black Friday plans. But these stores currently have these going on, so really good deals if you wanted to get into Valhalla or any of those we just mentioned. Great deals the day after. Yeah. I'm looking for deals on Returnal.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that'll drop. Ghosts of Tsushima for the...
Good job.
Thank you. I have to pause. I can't go in one... I can't go, you know... I can't run through it real quick, you know?
Yeah.
I have to pause and then do it because I'll just screw it up. Anyway, I'm hoping for a discount on that one, the PS5 Director's
PS5
Cut Director, thing.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm hoping for a discount there. Hot Wheels Unleashed, I would really like that one. That game looks really, really good. You and I watched
look, you played... What was the game? Cookie Counter or whatever?
Cookie Clicker.
Yeah. Like, look, if you play Cookie Clicker like that, ain't no shame in playing Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels, have at it.
It's just the detail they put into that game.
Yeah.
For those little die-cast cars.
Wait, didn't they make one like that for Micro Machines, didn't they? Detail things like that?
I mean, they did have a Micro Machines racer type of thing,
mm-hmm.
but I am floored by the detail that they showed off with these things.
Let's do Revolt. Remember that? I still play that every now and then on Dreamcast.
I remember the name, but I don't think I ever played it.
Basically, RC cars, rating real, that type of thing. Yeah,
yeah.
Good times, man.
I remember that.
It's still a fun game, even to this day.
But Hot Wheels Unleashed came out in September. There's already a deal for it, but I'm willing to bet either all the other stores will show up at that price. I think, and I can't remember who's got it on sale or who had it on sale.
Mm-hmm.
But I think either it'll drop to that price for Black Friday or it'll go lower than that. I hope.
Yeah.
So that's another one that I'm looking into. And there was another game I was thinking about. There was Hot Wheels Unleashed, Returnal, Ghosts. Oh, Ratchet and Clank.
Okay.
Yeah, the most recent one that they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping that might see a little price drop as well.
Mm-hmm.
That
was a trend for Black Fridays, isn't it? It's like, want to avoid that mad dash coming to ours a little early, about a week or two early.
A lot of them, because of pandemic and everything else.
Yeah.
A lot of them push it online, you know.
Yeah.
Like you can.
I'm talking about before the pandemic.
Pre-pandemic, I mean, yeah, some of them would do
someone
that.
Would jump the gun and go a little earlier, just try to get more folks in. Yes, yeah,
yeah,
because that is kind of motivational. But you would go through the crowd.
Yeah, but you would also wait because you would want to see, is the store going to go lower than that? Like this store just revealed theirs. Is it going to go lower?
Mm-hmm.
We're expecting, or I say we are, but everybody in the forums talking about Black Friday deals, they're expecting the rest of the stores to roll out probably this week.
Mm-hmm.
With their ad scans and everything else, so we'll have a better idea of what's going to be on sale for Black Friday. So
yeah,
we've got a spreadsheet here that is constantly updated, and we'll let you know what shows up as far as you know what's on there. Something that might be, you can call in and ask if you want, but something that might be more recent, like ooh, look at the drop. Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy, that's the other one that I'm looking for.
Mm.
That just came out not too long ago.
Right.
And so I don't know what kind of deal we'll see on that one, if we'll see a deal at all, but here's hoping.
Mm-hmm.
So
I really thought about any Black Friday deals myself. Couldn't think of any titles to other than King of Fighters 15. Looking at that, they're still releasing characters and everything like that, but nothing really hit the radar lately.
Yeah. It's not as big of a kick as I was on previous Black Fridays, I guess. But,
right.
And I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
I think
I'll see it when I see it.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'll look for the usuals, like some more Hue light bulbs to get, or we're trying to get her a chair, a computer chair or desk chair.
Monitor.
An office chair. You want a monitor too?
Monitor. Yeah.
Chair would be good. I have to find something that would.
And the fancy keyboard.
You need a keyboard. She needs a fancy keyboard.
I want mechanical? A fancy keyboard. Yeah, yes. Must be mechanical. And
what was that? Why must it be mechanical?
Click.
The click.
Just the click.
The number one reason for mechanical keyboards I've talked to about is the clicking.
And the feel.
Yeah.
The feel.
What was the one that looks like an old fashioned, old timey keyboard? Some brand I saw, it was a Micro Center a while back. It was just a.
The one that I was showing.
It was a small keyboard, but the keys looked like the old timey typewriter.
They have that, and they also have key tops, I guess is what they're called. I can't remember.
Keycaps.
Mm-hmm. They also have keycaps that also give it that look as well that you can apply.
Yeah, but I think these are actual.
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And that thing was heavy too. I picked that thing up and I was like, ooh, this thing got.
Did you go to Micro Center while you were in Atlanta?
That was in July.
It was in July.
We went to the Braves game in July. We went to Micro Center as well. So we saw a whole bunch of other stuff out there.
I have not been to a Micro Center. There was like half a thought of stopping at one
because
I was driving through and didn't do that.
Yeah. The main purpose was to get those filaments for the 3D printer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were on sale at the time. And a buddy of mine picked up a good batch of filaments for that thing. And while he was looking around, we looked around and all this equipment and everything. And we saw that, and I saw that keyboard. I'm like, man, that's a nice looking keyboard. And the weight of that thing was like, you can knock somebody out with it.
Yeah, we talked about Micro Center before. There's only like 15 stores in the nation, two of them in Georgia.
Yeah.
Not far from each other, to be honest with you.
No, not really. Oops, I think it's Duluth and
Marietta.
Duluth and Marietta?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not familiar with Georgia geography, but compared to the fact that we have none here, the fact they have two, that's pretty close together.
Yeah. Dave, if you wanted to do the drive and get some good stuff out there, it's worth it.
Yeah. Wendy, tell us about the games you've played this week, or at least, I mean, if you want to go over into the Animal Crossing stuff, feel free. But I know you played something other than that.
Yeah, I played Dark.
Just played a game called Dark. D-A-R-Q, by mm-hmm. the way. Well, it was the free game that was on Epic Games. Okay. Epic Game, you don't even have to be, it's not something you have to subscribe to. Mm-hmm. You just create an account and you can get a free game every Thursday from Epic Game Store.
And I have to do that for Rocket League as well on my PlayStation. Mm. I got to make an Epic Games account to play the game. So I haven't done it yet.
Mm. Well, if you've got a PC and an Epic Games account, put the Epic Games Store on your PC so you can get a free mm-hmm. game every Thursday. This past Thursday, Thursday before last, Halloween Thursday, mm-hmm. was Dark, D-A-R-Q.
Hmm.
Really cool looking game, but you played some of it. I haven't played any of it, but
Yeah, I got some pictures pulled up. It looks, I think the first thing I think about is Tim Burton.
Yeah, it's very dark. When I look at this thing.
Well, how did you?
Yeah, it's about Lloyd. It's a boy, and he realizes that he's dreaming. So he's in his dream, you know, doing puzzles, trying to.
Is he trying? Yeah, I was going to say, is he trying to get out of his dream, or is he trying to find a meaning to his dream, or?
Yeah.
That I'm not sure of.
Okay,
I mean, I'm looking at the description here. It just says a survival game. Dark tells the story of Lloyd, a boy who finds himself in the middle of a lucid nightmare. Unable to wake up, Lloyd has to face his fears and decipher the meaning of the dream. Genre is horror and puzzle. Yeah, it reminds me of, it was an older game, a long time ago, but it was basically a man who was under sedation he was under anesthesia for a surgery, right? And he was going through all this mess in his head while he was under the knife, really. Mm-hmm. And if he dies in the game, dies in his dream, he dies in the operating room.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much the same genre here. You know, you're stuck in a dream. You got to work your way out of it to even wake up.
Yeah.
That's pretty much a trope that's been going on for a while.
Because it's a lucid dream, you realize you have abilities that you can mess around with while you're in the dream world.
Mm-hmm.
And now I only know this from watching the trailer. And reading a little bit of a review, I think. We watched a review of the game as well. And it showed off some of the puzzles, but it showed off what you could do with the environment because it doesn't apply to the real rules type of thing. You can walk on the ceiling or you can walk on the walls if you want to. You can change the perspective of what you're looking at.
Is this something like Control?
I haven't played Control.
Okay.
Because
I thought you could do some reality bending things in that game as well.
I don't necessarily know that it bends reality. It just gives you options where you didn't think there wouldn't be if you were in, like, I don't want to say the real world, but if you weren't dreaming mm-hmm. in the game. Because he's dreaming, he can do whatever he wants
mm-hmm.
if you can control that. Now, I don't exactly know how the mechanic works, but I know the rooms shift. You know, the rooms kind of rotate where you can go on the walls or something like that. So, I don't know. How much time did you put into it?
Not enough time. And I need to go back.
And you played with a controller, I think,
yes.
Plugged into the PC. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just scratch the surface?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like me with a lot of games, actually. Just play a few minutes of them and do that.
Play a few minutes, stop. 8 months later, come back to it.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I'm still scratching the surface of Metroid Dread. I'm not very far in that game at all.
You put at least a couple hours in there, right?
Yeah, maybe an hour. Maybe two.
Yeah.
Over the time that I've had it, which is since it launched October the 8th,
mm-hmm.
it's been a month. Yeah. It's been a month. I put in 2 hours of time in the game, most likely.
Yeah.
I've made it to my third environment, I guess you could say, the third destination you can get to in the game.
I want to say stage, but...
Yeah, but it's a lot of backtracking. I'm only there most likely to pick up a power-up that I'll then need to go back into the old places and unlock a bunch of stuff there.
Yeah.
More than likely. Now that
you got this ability, go back to this area and do this thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't played a whole lot of Staple
Metroid play.
Yeah.
Backtrack.
We also got our update to Animal Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
We got the 2.0 update that came out Wednesday night or I think it was Wednesday night. It released.
Long time to download.
Not really. Longer than normal, because, I mean, it's a pretty big update.
Yeah.
It's a very big, beefy update. And so we got that. And then the DLC, the one and only paid DLC they're going to release for this thing, came out on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was even more stuff. to take care of and to handle. It's kind of pulling it's pulling me back into Animal Crossing with some of the stuff, because they added stuff you can do now, you know. And I mean, you could do stuff every single day in that game, but now there's objective based stuff like designing the homes for other visitors and stuff like that that you're going to be doing. I designed two of them last night. It was kind of fun. A little fun. A little fun there. I know she's going to eat it up when she gets around to playing it as well. So, yeah. We got the cafe open now. Everything is so time-based in that game. You do one thing, you got to wait 24 hours to enact, you know? Like, if I do, if I go in there and I want to upgrade my storage or change the way my house looks or enact an ordinance or get a shop built or get a bridge built or put, install something.
It will be tomorrow.
Yeah. You do it, and then the next time you come into play, the next day you come into play, it'll be there completed. So, yeah, then you've got then you go and do something else and wait the next day until it's done. So they're very time gating in that sense. Not that it kind of closes you off from doing anything, but, you know. Anyway, there was a lot of stuff. Over 9,000, I said, what was it? There's a lot of stuff added, and if you take in all the different combinations of what they add yet, might be some reskins or some different color variations of what it is, there's over like 9,000 items that they've added into the game. A lot of stuff for you to do with Animal Crossing. So Animal Crossing and Dark, did you play anything else?
No, that's it.
For me, it was Animal Crossing, and it was Metroid Dread, Destiny, just a little bit, and I jumped back into Uncharted Lost Legacy again. Again, I told you I've been poking around with Uncharted before, and I forgot that we had started back playing that, and so I went back to the PS5. Actually, I logged into the PS5 to get my PlayStation Plus games.
Yeah.
You know, to claim those. I was like, let's play some Uncharted. So I got back into that, and I was like, it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the one that I think I picked up something free on there, too. The it was some party game on the I forget the name of it. It was basically humans and androids on the ship, and they're trying to, like, kill. It's kind of like Among Us.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. But it was free, so I just added it to the library. I'm going to have to find the name of that thing now.
That's one where you have to, like, all of you are in on the ship.
Yeah.
But one of you is kind of an imposter.
Yeah, so you basically go around and, and kill everybody in as stealthily as possible.
Right. And you know you're the imposter, but anybody else does not know, you know, if you are. And you have to keep your disguise up.
That's it. First class trouble.
Yep.
Yeah, first class trouble.
Which reminds me of a game that they released on Steam years and years and years and years ago called The Ship, where you're all on a ship and somebody is the murderer, and it's going to come around and kill you, but you don't know who that is, if you know, unless it's you, but
yeah. I was looking at the let's see, the list here was First Class Trouble, Kingdoms of Amalur. Yeah, you said in Knockout City, and it's typical fare with these games, like something you've already got or just not interested in playing at all, really.
Yeah,
just
free game though.
It's free, but
free game. It builds the library.
Yeah, but the space is limited.
You don't have to download it. You just add it to your account, and then you can have it, you know, whenever you want to. Yeah. But you do have to claim it, by the way. I played. That said, I played those games. I didn't play any Orwell this past week. Yeah, never touched it. Never touched Orwell this week. Anyway, let's see. Yep, we're at a break here, which means we're not going to have a lot of time to talk about news here. But when we come back, I'll mention this book. I've not read the book, but it was sent to us, and I'll read it. The first chapter I'm already interested in.
Yeah.
And I will, I'll tell you what that first chapter is when we come back here, if I remember to do so. We got more in-game chat on the way. Here is music from that game that I'm waiting on to go on sale, Hot Wheels. This is the menu music for Hot Wheels Unleashed. We'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. Yeah. And welcome back to in-game chat music here from a game called Bonfire Peaks. The track is called Gauntlet. Bonfire Peaks is an interesting looking game. It is a puzzle game of sorts.
For some reason, I think of Firewatch.
No.
Tower. No.
This is some sort of like stacking type of game or something where you're burning things, but once they burn, you can build the bonfire higher, but you can only stand on what you've. Yeah. So, yeah. You know how you do the block game in Catherine?
Yeah.
A little bit like that. You're not timed, but it's a little bit like that, where you have to move things out of the way to get up higher and then to set things on fire to raise the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, to build a bonfire, as it were. So, yeah. Before we go to the phones, because I keep talking about this book, I wanted to mention that we got sent a copy of this book here called Story Mode. Video games and the interplay between consoles and culture. Comes out sometime this month. Not exactly sure when. But yeah, I haven't read it. Don't know anything too much about it. It talks about basically, just what it said. Video games and culture and that sort of thing.
And the impact that they have on each other.
Yeah, it's written by Trevor Strunk. And the old, I'm looking at this, it's a neat idea, and I flip through a few pages here, and I get to, the table of contents to start reading the chapters and that sort of thing. And the first chapter is survival horror. What are you scared of, and what does it mean? That sounds very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm extremely interested in that, just to see that. First-person shooters, the politics of death and the death of politics. The Souls series.
A whole chapter dedicated to the Souls series.
Difficulty as a way into aesthetics, where aesthetics are replaced by difficulty. The difficulty actually becomes the aesthetic of the game, I guess.
Because the difficulty is what the Souls series is known for, especially Demon Souls.
Let's see. Final Fantasy, Escape is Other People, Metal Gear Solid, No Heroes Left, Send in the Heroes, Fallout, and Shin Megami Tensei.
Close enough. Go on.
Whose Apocalypse Is It Anyway? Is the subtitle on that one. So there's a lot of stuff here, and I'm very, very interested in anything about
fighting games.
Those are the six chapters. That's it right there.
Oh, okay.
So, but there it is. Story Mode. If you're interested in it, and I know you said you're interested in reading it.
Yeah, I mean, usually the books that you bring on here, they usually. Get our interest to the point where we buy a copy. Console Wars comes to mind immediately.
Console Wars is a great book.
Console Wars is a very good book. If you haven't heard about that or anything like that on from our show or anywhere else, just give it a look. Give it a research a bit. It's about the transition of market share from Nintendo to Sega back in their run. I mean, you get the inner workings of how business work. I mean, the transition, it's the same principles. I mean, it's still a product that needs to be sold, but the transition of how Sega got that much of the market share and the things they had to do, and especially the clash between Sega of Japan and Sega of America and how they do business, that really was the what was hamstringing Sega in America at the time, was how Sega of Japan was throttling them in doing what they wanted to do. If they had just let them run it the way they wanted, it would have been a lot better for them down the road.
The movie, documentary, whatever that is based on that book is on Paramount Plus.
Yeah,
if you have that and can watch it, Console Wars. Let's go to the phones here and talk to Biloxi Gambler. Hey, man.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Trevor Strunk, you said?
Yes.
Okay, well, that dude sounds like he's going to be a problem. Because if you've got the name Trevor Strunk, you're going to have some issues going through school. I'm just saying.
Well, he's a PhD, so.
No, that's even worse. That's going to be awful. It'd be a good book. It'd be a great book. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, that's somebody that can have a lot of attitudes about a lot of different things. RJ.
Yes.
Okay, so you went to Atlanta for some kind of like fighting convention, video game fighting convention and stuff. Did you play in a tournament or anything?
No, they didn't have any. They didn't have Street Fighter or Virtua Fighter there. It was basically anime. It was an anime convention, but they just happened to have some video game tournaments there, and they didn't have too many, too much of a selection to pick from this year. But they just had those three titles there, so I didn't get to play in the ones that I wanted. I really wanted to, but. It was fun to watch, see the competition unfold. That was one good thing about it. Seeing folks play and do the best they could in there. That's always fun to watch. Even if it's not a game you play, it's always fun to look at.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
I looked at fighting games. Well, I'm going to talk about the one I did download on PS4. But okay, I've never played a fighting game. What kind of fighting game would you recommend for somebody that's never played one?
Well, let's see. A simple one would be Fantasy Strike. I remember that one. It's very simple, easy to get into. That's one with the controls. The controls are very simple, and it's not really hard to get a grip of how the system works.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty good one to start as a beginner level type player.
Fantasy Strike.
Fantasy
okay,
Strike,
I can remember that.
It's now, on PS4.
It was on PS4.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jay Scott had mentioned Batman. Was it Arkham Knight?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I know it's an older game, and I looked at all the stuff.
2015, I think.
2016. Yeah.
2015, 2016, something like that.
I think it's 2016, but anyway, it was 70% off in the month of November, so I got it right.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. Okay. Well, let's try some cartoon game. It doesn't have any tutorial. And I don't know how to glide. I mean, after you glide, I guess you can't bring it back up. And then I'm chasing. Oh, the Batmobile has to be completely indestructible because I'm running into everything. And I'm going and I'm doing, and then I catch somebody I'm supposed to interrogate about a scarecrow, and he won't get out of the car, and I don't know how to use any weapons. And I downloaded some stuff online that's supposed to give me some tips. But anyway, that's my experience with the cartoon game. Talk about what did you play this week. I tried it.
Oh, man.
I've gotten to where I chased the car. That's it. That's got to be in the first 15 minutes of the game.
Well, if you were able to find Batman Arkham Knight a cheap deal in November, you should be able to find the two games previous of that, or actually three games previous of that, in the Batman series.
What are they called?
Well, oddly enough, Batman Arkham Asylum, Batman Arkham City, and then you got the third, which was Batman Arkham Knight.
Okay, so I'm two deep. I'm three into it. Okay.
Right. There was
so
also
the first one.
Yeah, the first one is Arkham Asylum.
Arkham Asylum. Okay, yeah. Arkham Asylum and Fantasy. What was that again, RJ?
Fantasy Strike.
Fantasy Strike, Arkham Asylum. I'll start there.
All
okay,
right, man.
Thanks. All right, thanks, guys.
Take care, bye-bye. Yeah, I'm not really itching for a Batman game, but I am. I don't know why I keep wanting to jump back into these older. Like, I want to go back through the Uncharted series. I haven't played those in a long time. I get an urge now and again to just play the fighting part of some of those Batman games.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how you could go into the arenas and do the fighting there?
How big of a combo can you get up there? How big of a combo can you get in their fighting system?
I get an urge to get back into that just because I haven't done that in so long.
Yeah, I still remember watching a friend of mine do that challenge thing.
Mm-hmm.
He got into the triple digits.
Oh yeah,
and letting that combo rock, man.
Especially when you do the 1 versus 100 thing that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course in the later game they had it go survival mode. Basically, you just go as long as you can until it completely overwhelms you.
Yeah.
But
the way he was playing, he would have survived a long time.
Oh,
I mean, he was not cracking cracking at all.
Really enjoyed the combat in those games,
mm-hmm.
and I don't hate it because I don't know how it's going to play out, but I'm not hopeful for what they've got going on with Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also not hopeful with what Warner Brothers Montreal is doing with Gotham Knights.
Yeah,
as well. I need to see more, and obviously I need to play.
Does it seem like we're trying so hard not to be like our predecessors that they end up doing something completely different and messing it up? Is that the feeling you get from it?
Well, I get the feeling I get from it is that it's corporates not involved. I mean, they are involved. Corporate, of course, is. But I think corporate has jumped in and said, make it like this. Mm-hmm. Don't make it like this anymore. Make it like this. Mm-hmm. This is what makes us money. Put this in there, you know?
Yeah.
Or make it however you're going to make it, but it must incorporate that games as a service type thing,
mm-hmm.
which runs into, we want people to buy this game, play it, and then we want you to add content to it that they have to pay for so that they continue to play it. Destiny is a good example of how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Free to play, and then we're going to add these expansions, and you keep buying into that and that sort of thing. But the Destiny thing is just a year-round thing. This would be more of, what's another way to look at it, maybe? I don't want to say Fortnite, because that's survival type of thing, but whatever the games of as a service is, and you can find plenty of examples of it all over the place, but that sort of thing where they never make anything else. They just keep making more content for the one thing.
Kind of a monthly thing?
In a sense, yeah. Or your seasons type of thing that, you're doing with, that you have with like Apex Legends or that you have with MLB, which are innings, I know. And I know Destiny has their seasons as well.
Yeah, Street Fighter V should be releasing its last character for the season soon, so yeah.
Yeah, I don't ever think of fighting games as a games of service type thing, but I understand.
But it does have the seasonal DLC thing.
It has aspects of that. So, what were we going to go over in the news? Because I pulled up some articles here, but we're running out of time, so I want to make sure that I've got the ones that I want to talk about. And now I have to wait for this thing to refresh. I don't know why. There we go. Let's get to some of the other stuff. Nintendo Switch sold over 92 million consoles worldwide to date so far. Square Enix in a conference call called that Marvel's Avengers game disappointing that they worked so hard on, which they should be glad about what Guardians of the Galaxy is doing.
Well,
because it's doing pretty well and it's gotten very good reviews.
Square Enix being disappointed, I mean,
they were disappointed in that Tomb Raider thing.
They're always disappointed.
Tomb Raider sold some really good stuff, and even though it was a console exclusive, they were still disappointed in it.
Yeah, I think one of their Final Fantasy sold good numbers, very good numbers, but always disappointing. Now I'm curious, what would make you happy, Square Enix? What type of numbers are we talking about that would make you satisfied?
Yeah, well, even though, Avengers was a games as a service thing, and they put that out there on all platforms that you could buy it on, and it was still disappointing to them. I totally get why it was. That game did not review well.
It was bad, right?
Yeah,
it was bad. That's why it didn't sell.
It was bad.
Yeah.
What else? Midnight Sun, by the way, speaking of Marvel, Midnight Suns got delayed into late 2022. All the updates for Cyberpunk 2077 have been pushed into next year. That was an article that was released a few weeks ago. Originally, we were supposed to have a lot of updates this year for Cyberpunk 2077, but they are now pushed into 2022. So that game is,
still not finished.
It's not. It's not, and it's, it was never going to be, I don't think.
No. Let me see. When was that game?
Which one?
Cyberpunk. When was it released?
When was that released? It was not last year. It was year before last, I think. Yeah. Was it year before last?
September 17th of 2020.
It was last year then. Okay. Yeah. That's right. Feels like it's been out over a year now. Yeah. But no. There was a guy who got busted by, I don't know, who was it? Oh, it was the feds. he pled guilty to two federal felony charges related to they were making a modding device for the Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And he admitted that what he was making was predominantly and primarily designed to allow purchasers to play pirated ROMs. He got busted by that And he now owes Nintendo $4.5 million. Mm. You got to understand, this guy probably was just not. He does not have $4.5 million to pay Nintendo.
I wouldn't imagine so.
He doesn't have half of that. He doesn't have half of half of that. He doesn't have near anything like that. Hmm. This is likely ruined his life.
Yeah. I would debate not even a tenth of that.
The plea deal that he goes on to admit that the enterprise attempted to cloak its illegal activity with a purported desire to support homebrew enthusiasts who wanted to design their own games, but the predominant and primary design was to purchase and play pirated ROMs. That's almost every version of like a mod that you could think of. The intent is for you to play your own games that you develop yourself or that you've got in friends and stuff like that. But no, nobody ever uses it for that, for the most part. Nintendo would release new Switch hardware that would kind of prevent that from happening, but they kept finding ways around it.
As always.
Yeah. He may have even gotten some prison time on this, too. I don't remember. Mm. Or maybe it's the... No, I think he took the deal so he wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
He pled guilty to two of the 11 felony counts. The charges come with a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison. In exchange for the plea deal, they have agreed to drop the other 9 charges. Wow.
Mm.
Man.
How much of a deterrent you think it'll be?
How much of what?
How much of a deterrent you think this will be?
None.
Yeah.
Nobody. No, they don't stop. Yeah. They just find out ways that, like, okay, we just got to make sure we don't get caught, you know?
Yeah.
For the most part, they do. I don't know how he got targeted and got caught, you know? I don't know the whole story behind that, but yeah. They try not to.
Yeah.
The other story we didn't get to, it was a little bit old here, was that Skydance is working on a Marvel game. They're working on a Marvel game, though, with Amy Hennig, who did the Uncharted series, who did the Legacy of Kain series, who has tried to do a Star Wars game twice, I think. At least once, I know.
What was that, 17-something?
Well, there was Star Wars. There was 13-13. I think it was 13-13. Okay. Or am I thinking of Mockingbird Lane? Either Adam's Family or Munsters. I'm not exactly sure. Mm. But it may have been like this 13-7. I don't remember. There was a Star Wars game that had an Uncharted feel to it. But I don't think that was her that was working on that. She was working on something else with Visceral Games, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Star Wars 13-13 is a canceled action-adventure video game.
Yeah. It was 13-13. Yeah, okay. Anyway, they've announced a partnership with Marvel Entertainment to develop a AAA narrative-driven action-adventure game. And will feature a completely original story set in the Marvel Universe. Mm. We don't know what it's going to be. There's some speculation it might be a Daredevil game. There's some... They don't know. They don't know exactly what it's going to be.
Mm.
She was working on a Star Wars game for Visceral Games. Of course, Visceral Games doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah, shame.
She also helped with a game that we saw coming out for, I think, PlayStation. Is it Forsaken?
Forsaken?
I think it's a game called Forsaken. Hmm. She was a consultant on the story for that game. I don't necessarily know that she had any other involvement than that.
God, keeps pulling up Destiny.
I know, right? I could be wrong on the name of the title. It was just revealed in like one of those state of play things or something that we saw where they show you just a bunch of games in like a 30-minute period and you get a bunch of different games to look at. Anyway, I need to reach out to her. I need to see if she's up for coming on the show again. Hmm. Or at least just check in on her, see how she's doing. I haven't talked
to her
in a
long time. Is it Forsaken or Forspoken?
Forspoken, that's what okay. it is. Forspoken.
Okay.
That's the title she's working on. So, yeah.
Okay.
Meant to mention that. I only for the fact that she is working on something. She was working on some VR stuff. She had joined Skydance Media, and really all the Skydance New Media is what it's called. Yeah. And all that they had done at the time, I think, was like some VR stuff. And I thought, oh, she's going to dip her head and or dip her toes into the VR world, mm-hmm. which there may be something to do with this. But as far as I know, because they said that, it is a narrative-driven action-adventure game. It's probably not going to be in the VR territory, which makes perfect sense for what she's working on, or for the fact that they have her for that, basically. So, yeah, good to know. Glad she's got something going on. But I should reach out to her, see if we can get her back on the show. That's one of the other things that I keep thinking about when I'm playing these, going back into these Uncharted games.
Yeah.
Was, you know, her involvement and thinking and remembering her telling me how these things worked and how they were doing these things is really kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Was there anything else? I don't know that we have time for too much else. Just a reminder, like I know, if you can find a good deal on a game, go ahead and grab it. But keep in mind, you know, people in October, earlier in October, bought that Nickelodeon Brawl game
yep.
for probably full price, and a month later, it's available for $20. So just keep in mind, right now is not the time to be buying video games. It's honestly not the time to be buying anything that is in your electronics or even just normally stuff that you would buy for like Christmas and holiday shopping or whatever.
Yeah,
your keyboard that you're talking about, and the monitor, and the chair, and everything else.
I know.
We're right here on the cusp. If you could just hold out for like another, I would say a week. I think we'll know in a week's time, but at least 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You might find really good deals on some games coming up, on a lot of things coming up. To be honest with you, so yeah. But we'll keep you posted on that. Just hold off. We'll do our Black Friday stuff as we always do. When it gets around to that time. So, anyway, we're coming up on the end here. Far Cry 6, we got music here from Far Cry 6 because that released while we were away. Ubisoft is known for dropping the price on their games during Black Friday. Hmm. Even when they release 2 weeks ahead of time before Black Friday. Far Cry 6 didn't. It released last month. But by the time Black Friday rolls around, you're going to see a deal on Far Cry 6. I promise you. I don't know that for certain, but this is the way they'd work.
They typically do this, so yeah. keep an eye out, look for it. Yeah,
they really typically do it. They did it for Watch Dogs Legion last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was a game that came out in October, and they had a deal for it by Black Friday. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I don't think ever saw a deal except for maybe the previous gen consoles, if you want to call them that,
mm-hmm.
like the PS5 version and the Xbox Series X version. I don't think were on. No, they weren't on sale, but you could buy the previous version games and get them upgraded to the
yeah.
to the newer versions.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just keep all that in mind. You're likely to see some deals. If you didn't get a PS5 until, you know, or an Xbox Series X until sometime this year, those launch titles that came out last year are probably going to see a discount if you haven't already bought them.
Mm.
It's tough to get a new console and not get new games for that console that take advantage of it. So just keep that in mind. Thank you guys for joining us. Thanks everybody for calling in. Matt, Chris, Biloxi Gambler, we really appreciate it. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Don't forget to follow us and like us, subscribe to us on YouTube and Twitch, and join us on Discord and everything else. We really appreciate you guys listening every week like you do. Thank you so much. Here is music from Far Cry 6. This is called Libertad. Yeah, we'll see you next Saturday.